You guys can be seated. A little bit different, changing it up. Give the band a hand again. They've been working hard. It's always exciting to get to hear them play. They're growing every day. So I'm excited. Just keep praying that the Lord strengthens them. The Lord makes them stronger. Maybe if you have a talent to sing or to play an instrument, come find me after service. I'm sure they could use all the help as well. But the Lord is good. Amen. I was excited to hear last week after the message during the altar call that Emily gave her life to Christ. Amen. She gave her testimony. If you were here on Wednesday, she gave her testimony on Wednesday. I'm sure she would be happy to share that with you. But it is an amazing testimony, because any testimony where somebody comes to Christ is amazing. Amen. Amen. I love the song that we just sang there, because, man, there is no one greater than God. No one greater than the Lord Almighty. Psalms 147, 5 says, "Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." God knows everything. Everything about your life. There's nothing that He doesn't know. God is infinite in His knowledge. He's infinite in His understanding and in His wisdom. The problem that many of us get into this morning is that we think that we know when we don't. That we think we have more knowledge than we really do. That we think we're in control when we really aren't. But God is. God has the power to renew. This is what we talked about last week. God has the power to renew. And this morning we're going to be talking about God has the power to renew the mind. There's no one that can do that but the Lord. Only God can change our thoughts. Only God can change our expectations. Only God can change how we see the world, the things in the world. Only God can change our beliefs. It is only the Lord that has the power to renew the mind. The question this morning is, does your mind need to be renewed? Does it need to be transformed this morning? Last week we were reminded that Jesus is the only one that has the power to take what is dead and give it life. Amen, church? Do we know that this morning? That Jesus is the only one that has the power to take what is dead and make it alive. This is what we talked about last week. It's not by being good. It's not by coming to church. It's not by trying really hard. It's simply by inviting Jesus into your life. Simply that. And today we will see the Lord trying to renew our minds. How the Lord renews our minds, the way we think, the way we look at the world, and the way we see God. 2 Kings chapter 5 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to read a story about a man named Naaman. Maybe you know this story. It is an awesome story of a guy who doesn't know who the Lord is, doesn't really care to want to know who the Lord is, but because of circumstances in his life, he's going to meet God. For the very first time, 2 Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.'" Here we find a guy who was a commander of the army of Aram. This is Naaman. He's a Gentile. He doesn't know who the Lord is. He doesn't care to know who the Lord is. And in fact, Aram is a nation who was always at odds with Israel. They had fought one another. There was very minimal times where they were at peace with one another, that they cared about one another. But what do we find out about this guy? He says he's a great man, right? Highly regarded and a valiant soldier, right? Seems like he's got it all together. He's got all the criteria. He's got all the titles that any man, especially back then, could ever want. It would be great to be called a valiant soldier, be highly regarded and a great man. There would be no better titles that a man of this time would have, right? He seems to have all the success and all the prestige that anyone could ever get. But Naaman had a problem. What was his problem? Is that he had leprosy, right? It lists all these things. He's a great man and he's regarded and he's a valiant soldier. But what does it say? It says, but he had leprosy. One but shattered his whole world. One thing shattered his whole world. Why? Because it was something that Naaman couldn't control. You couldn't control leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disease and it spread and it spread. And it ultimately led to your death, right? You ended up basically rotting away. It wasn't anybody. And it was slow. It wasn't fast. It was a slow, painful death. And maybe there have been moments in your life when it seems like all is going well, but you have a but. Something you can't control. Something you can't get rid of. Something that has seemed to just wreck all of it. Maybe that's been in your moment. Maybe you've had that in your life. No matter how much you've tried, there's nothing that you can do about it. This was Naaman's story. No matter how hard he tried, no matter how strong he was, no matter how great he was, there was nothing that he could do about his leprosy. Nothing that he could possibly do. He had no control over the situation. He wasn't strong enough. He had no strength to beat it. There was nothing he could possibly do. And see, the first place we have to come for God to renew our mind is that we have to admit that we don't have the power to do it. We don't have the power to change our mind, to change what we believe, to change how we see the world. We have to come to that place. We don't have the power to do it. We need to come to a place where we're not relying on myself. I'm relying on Him. I'm relying on God. God takes the mind that says I can do it and transforms it into a mind that says He can do it. This is what God does to a mind. This is what God does to our mind when we allow Him to take it and mold it into whatever He wants it. As we say, Lord, I know I can't do it, but You can do it. And what I find so interesting about this part is that we find this slave girl who's been taken captive is the one who's pointing him in the right direction. Do you not find that odd, church? Do you not find it very odd that the one they took captive, the slave girl, the young girl, is the one pointing Naaman and these people into the right direction? Why? Don't you think that she would want to say, I want to see this guy rot. I want to see this guy waste away. He took me. He took me captive, but she didn't. She's a great example that no matter the circumstances we are in, we should always be pointing people to the one who can renew. To the one who can transform and the one that can change lives. No matter what circumstances you are in, no matter if it's the one you can't stand or even the one that's your enemy or the one that you think is too far gone, that you should always be pointing them to the God who has the power to transform and renew their minds. This is what this girl is doing to even the people that took her. She's pointing Naaman to the one who can renew him, not just of his leprosy, but also his mind, the way he thinks. What he believes. And this is what we're going to find out as we continue to read on. She knows God has the power to change. And let me ask you this morning, do you really believe it? Do you really believe that God has the power to change anyone? Their mind, their heart, their strength, their purpose, all these things that we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. God is the only one that has the power to change it, and she knows it. She knows that he's only going to find it if he goes to this prophet, the prophet of God. She knows it. We don't have the power to change a mind. Only God can do it. You're not going to get anywhere in renewal if you don't believe that. If you don't believe that God is the only one that has the power to do it. Verse 4, it says, Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me? Here we see Naaman goes to the king of Aram and he tells the king about what the girl had said, that there's this guy in Israel that has the power to heal me. This is what he does. And you can imagine for a minute how excited Naaman probably felt. Who knows how long that Naaman had this leprosy. And now what is it? There's a sense of hope. There's hope. Wait, you're telling me there may be somebody in Israel that can heal me of my leprosy? I've had this maybe forever. In their mind, there's hope. And the king says, go and do it. We've got to do it, right? You're my best guy. You're my best soldier. You got to go get healed of your leprosy. But the problem is, church's name, and the king sought it from a worldly way. What did they do? They wound up, they got all the money they could, all the resources they could, all the influence they possibly could, in order, in essence, to buy the healing, to buy the miracle, to buy the miracle, to get the money, right? The money was probably roughly, we're talking about close to $1.5 million. That's how much he was willing to give in order for a miracle, in order for a healing. All of that they did. They got a letter, all for the king of Israel to say what? What am I supposed to do? I'm not God. Why would you send a man to be cured by me? I don't have the power to cure anybody. In other words, he's saying to Naaman, you're looking in the wrong place. You're looking in the wrong place, and many of us are looking in the wrong place. We tell ourselves, if we go here or there, if we take this or that, that we're magically going to get better. Our spirit is magically going to be healed. Our mind is magically going to be healed. But that's not how our spirit is healed. That's not how our mind is healed. It's impossible. God is trying to change the way we think, not to rely on human wisdom, but on godly wisdom. You can have all the money and influence in the world, but you can't buy godly wisdom. It's impossible. You can't buy godly wisdom. We receive godly wisdom when we fear the Lord. Psalms 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all who follow His precepts have good understandings. To Him belongs eternal praise. When God gives us wisdom, He deserves the praise for it, because it ultimately can only come from Him. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Well, what does it mean to fear the Lord? It means our reverence and our dependence are solely on Him. Not on ourselves or the world or our circumstances or whatever it means. It means, you know, whatever, no matter what it is, it's solely on God and God alone. Our reverence are all of Him. How great that He is, and our dependence, who we really trust in. That's what it means to fear the Lord. God is renewing our mind by shifting it from the world to Him. That is how God renews our mind. When God begins to renew our minds, our whole worldview begins to change. Maybe you know that. Maybe God has changed the things you believe to the complete opposite. Maybe the way that you see people in the world today looks way different than you did before Christ. I hope it does. I hope you love people like you never loved them before when you came to Christ. Way more than you did before you knew Him. God begins to renew our minds. Our worldview begins to change. He changes the way we see the world. It begins to change the way we see people, the way we see stuff, the way we see politics, the way we see finances. All these things begin to change when God begins to renew our minds. See, some of us are stuck trying to fix our spiritual problems in a worldly way, and that's impossible. It's impossible to fix your spiritual problems in a worldly way. We need to stop asking the world to fix what only God can fix. Maybe you're asking, well, how is God renewing our thinking? Well, number one, God is showing us that worldly systems lead to emptiness. Emptiness. With no real solution. Maybe a solution for a moment, but that moment fades. And number two, God is showing us that His work is not purchased, it's given. God, the renewing of your mind is not a purchased thing. You can't buy it from God. It's only given by grace through faith. The question this morning is, are you letting God change the way you look at the world, the way that you view the world? Are you still viewing the world the same way that you always have been? Because that shouldn't be. We should be asking the Lord, Lord, change the way I see the world. Lord, let me see the world like You see the world. Are you still thinking the way Your way is the right way? Verse 8, it says, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and far the rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in rage. See, what is happening here is we find Elisha, the prophet, heard about the king and how he had torn his clothes and how he was mourning because he thought that these people were only trying to come in and start some battle with him. So Elisha heard about it and he says, send him to me. Elisha, the prophet, said, send him to me. He's saying, king, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Send him to me and I'll show him the God who heals. This is what Elisha is doing. So the king sends Naaman to Elisha. Think about that for a moment. Naaman gets to the Israel says, I can't do it. And then Elisha calls out to the king. And now Naaman is heading towards Elisha. Can you imagine what must have been going through his head? I'm finally going to get healed. I'm finally going to have my leprosy cured. Right? I'm so close. I'm so close to getting my leprosy healed. And maybe in his head he's like, how on earth is Elisha going to heal my leprosy? What amazing thing is Elisha going to do? What great thing? Is fire going to come down from heaven and fall over the spots of leprosy to cure him? Maybe those are the things he's thinking about. But that's not what Elisha says. What happens is Elisha sends a messenger to give him a simple command. What was the simple command? Go and wash. Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be healed. Simple command. Naaman hears this, and what does he do? He becomes angry. Angry. He becomes angry. He's probably, at least he could have come out and saw me. He didn't even do that. He sent a messenger. At least he could have waved his hand over me, or at least let me wash in a better river than the dirty Jordan. At least he could have done that. So Naaman leaves and he turns in rage. Now think about that for a moment. Think about how foolish that is, how messed up your thinking must be to have a simple command to be healed of a leprosy that maybe you've had forever, a long time in your life, and to turn away from it, to leave it. The moment of hope, the moment of healing was right there in front of him, right there. And what does he do? He leaves in rage. Why? Because his expectations were not met. His expectations were not met. And some of you are like, yeah, that's pretty foolish. That's pretty dumb. But there are so many people that God is willing to heal their life, and he has given them a simple command. A simple command. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is that not simple, church? Is that not simple for salvation? Is that not simple for our healing? It is so simple to believe in Jesus Christ, to confess it with your mouth, and you will be saved and you will be healed. People reject that every single day. People reject the simple command, the simple request for salvation, for healing is to be saved. Many people refuse it. And see, the problem that Naaman had is here is his expectations were unrealistic of God. Naaman was saying, I thought God would do it this way, but he didn't meet my expectations. See, church, these two words get us into trouble in our thinking when we say, I thought. I thought he would do this. I thought he would do that. I thought God would do this. I thought God would answer my prayers faster. I thought God would answer my prayer this way or that way. I thought God would use somebody else. See, the problem, church, is we think that God has to do it our way when he doesn't. God has to think the way we think when he doesn't. God renews our mind by changing our expectations from I thought to God said. This is how God renews our mind, is he changes it from saying this is what I thought to this is what God has said. See, most of our expectations of God are not rooted in God's word. None of them. Most of our expectations of how God should work and move are never rooted in actually what God has said. See, God renews our thinking by his word. So we are no longer relying on our thoughts, but his word. Are you relying on his word this morning? See, sometimes we think God has to do this extravagant thing in our life for it to have power. But church, sometimes the simplest things are the most powerful. Did I not hear the verse that I just read in Romans 10:9? How much more powerful can it get than salvation? The most simple command that we probably have from the Lord is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll receive eternal life. Eternal life. How much more simple can it get? See, I think for a lot of us, the biggest miracle God is doing is not changing our situation. It's changing how we think. It's changing what we believe, changing our expectations. This is the biggest miracle that I think God is, because some of us are so stubborn in the way we think. So stubborn in our mind, our expectations, what we believe. And God is asking, God is looking, God is wanting you to come. Drop your expectations. And cling to what he said. Verse 13. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more than when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. Here, this part is amazing to me, because he gets back, and you can kind of imagine the conversation as he gets back to his servants. He tells his servants, "Yeah, I went to this prophet, and he didn't even come out. I had all this money. I had the chariots and the horses. I had the whole shebang. And this prophet didn't even have the decency to come out and see me. He didn't even have the decency to even try or wave his hand. He told me to go wash in the dirty Jordan 7 times. Can you believe he said that to me? I'm a valiant soldier. I'm a great man. I'm highly regarded. He told me to go wash in the dirty Jordan. I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that." And you can imagine the dumbfound look on the servant's face. "What do you mean? He told you to go wash? He gave you that simple command, go wash, and you're not willing to do it? How foolish is that?" You can imagine what they may be thinking. "What do you mean you didn't go and wash? It's pretty simple." That's what Naaman's servants are saying right here. See, if he would have told you to climb the highest and greatest mountain, you would have done it. If he would have told you to go fight the nation next to you, and if you'd have won, your leprosy would have been cured, you would have done that. But the fact that he told you to go wash, you're unwilling to do that? How foolish. How foolish. And this is where a lot of our thinking is, church. God has called you to do something great. Sure, you'd go do it. Sure, you would go do it. But when God calls you to simply go to church, nope. When God calls you simply to give, nope. When God calls you to simply be faithful, nope. We would all say that's pretty foolish. Does it not seem foolish that many of us, though it may be scary, would say, "Yeah, the Lord wants me to go climb the giant mountain, I'll go do it." But the Lord calls you to go to church, nope. Give, nope. Be faithful, nope. Feed the hungry, nope. Rather foolish way of thinking, isn't it? God is trying to renew our minds so that we prioritize the simple things, the daily callings in our life that He has given us. So what happens is something switches inside Naaman's head. It's almost like a switch. Like the servant just spoke right to his mind. "Wait, you're right. That is pretty foolish. I thought you gave me a pretty simple command. Why didn't I just go do it?" So what does Naaman do? He does it, right? He does exactly what Elisha told him to do. And guess what happens? He came out renewed and he came out restored. Amen? When you do what the Lord says, He actually does renew you. He actually does restore you. And this is a reminder to me that God keeps His promises. When God tells you to go do something simple and that you're going to be blessed for it, God is going to keep His promises. God is faithful, not just in the big things or the mighty things or the great things. He is so faithful in even the small things, the simple things. The things that are daily that we do every day. And the most powerful thing here is not the healing of Naaman. Is that he took his pride and set it aside and he surrendered it to the Lord. That's the greatest thing that he does here. It's not the healing. Praise the Lord for the healing. But the miracle is that he set the pride of his mind down and he surrendered it to the Lord. He gave it to the Lord. And God is trying to take our prideful way of thinking and replace it with a mind of surrender. Can you surrender it to the Lord, church? A renewed mind starts when we say no to pride and yes to surrender. Some of us are just one surrender away from God working a miracle in our life. For God transforming us in a mighty way. You're one surrender away, one prideful thought laid down from God working a miracle in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen, church. For He is great and He is amazing and there is no one like Him. I can imagine this for a moment, how reassuring and how amazing that it must have felt for Naaman to go do something simple and God keep His promise. And God keep His promise. God keep His promise. Verse 15. Says, "Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." This is a new Naaman. A new Naaman. A new man, a transformed man, that not only has he been healed by God, but he has a renewed mind. Remember who Naaman is. He's a Gentile. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe in the one true God. He believes in lots of gods and lots of idols and all those things. But what does he say here? He says, he stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." Amen, church. Do you know that this morning? That there is no other God except the God of Israel, the God of the world. There's only one true living God. Do you know that this morning? Because now Naaman knows it. He didn't know it before, but now he knows it. God came into his mind and changed what he believed. He no longer believes in all the idols and all the gods anymore. He believes that there is only one true living God, the Lord Almighty. Now Naaman is moved to say there is only one God in all the world. This is what God does. God changes what we believe. When we surrender it to him, he shows us what is true. What is the truth? What is real? That's what God does. See, Naaman came for a healing, but Naaman left with truth. Naaman came for a healing, and praise the Lord, he got it, but he left with truth. There's nothing more valuable than truth. For Jesus says, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. See, God is trying to transform more in your life than you realize. See, God renews our mind not so that we will just know more stuff. See, God renews our mind so that we can see him more clearly. That's why God is renewing our minds, so that we see him more clearly. The more we surrender our mind to the Lord, the clearer we see who he is. The clearer we know who he is. So how has Naaman's mind been changed? Well, number one, his thinking's been changed. He no longer thinks that his way is the right way. He no longer thinks that I have the strength to do it, or I have the control to do it. And number two, his expectations have changed. That, oh wow, God doesn't only work in the amazing and mighty and great things, the earthquakes and the oceans and all of those things. God works in the simplest of things. Go wash in the Jordan. His expectations have changed. And number three, his beliefs have changed. Can you imagine what you believed before Christ? Many of us were filled with things that were untrue, not real, were bad and wicked and evil. But God has begun to transform your mind to believe what is true, the things that will set you free. That's the work that God is doing in our life. God has changed our worldview. Why? Because we've surrendered it to God. Naaman no longer looks at the world the same anymore. And if we continue to read on, which we're not going to, I encourage you to read on the story because it doesn't end there. Is he's left with a dilemma. Is when he goes back to the king is going to want him to bow down to these other gods, but now he doesn't believe that anymore. He doesn't believe in those gods anymore. So he asks the prophet, "What do I need to do?" And finish the story and you'll find out. God is willing to change our mind when we are willing to surrender it to him. See, Naaman experienced a moment of renewal, a renewal of his flesh, and a renewal of his mind. And we are called to surrender our minds to God daily, every day, every single day, not just one moment. See, for Naaman, it was one moment here. But when God renews our mind, it's a daily surrender. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Turn there with me as we finish this out. Many of you probably know this verse. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." See, Paul here is showing us that our walk with the Lord is a daily surrender. It's giving your body as a living sacrifice every single day to the Lord. It's surrendering to the Lord. every single day, not just one dip in the water. Not just a one-time dip in the water. It's a daily surrender. See, we have to always be seeking the Lord to transform the way we're thinking, our expectations, and our beliefs. Because the world is trying to convince you otherwise. The world is trying to convince you to think like them, to expect like them, to believe like them. And God is telling you to do the exact opposite. The exact opposite. The world is trying to convince you to follow its pattern, but God is always calling you to renew it. To transform it by His Word, by His Spirit. Why is this so important? Because when we let God reshape and renew our minds, we are transformed and able to what? To test and approve His will for our life. That can only be done by the renewing of your mind. For how are you going to know what God wants for your life if you not let God show it to you? That starts here and here. Your mind and your heart. Those things are how we're able to test and approve what His will, His good, perfect, pleasing will for our life. Give your mind to God, church, and He will transform it and He'll make it new. New. Brand new. Refreshed. Refreshed. So let me encourage you this morning. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Lord, as high as the heavens, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Romans 8:6 says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." Let God be in charge of your mind, and He will show you His thoughts and His ways, a way of life and a way of peace. When you allow your mind to be governed by your flesh, be governed by the world, what does it say? It will lead to death. But when you allow God to take your mind and allow your mind to be governed by Him, by the Spirit, then what does it lead to? A life of life and peace. That's why it's so important, church. So important to allow God to renew your mind, to reshape your mind, to transform your mind, so that you may be walking in a way of life and peace. People are striving for life and peace. Life and peace. Only found when we surrender our mind to the Lord. And maybe you're here this morning and your mind needs to be renewed. Maybe your way of thinking, maybe your expectations, maybe your beliefs are all over the place. Maybe you don't like where they're at. Maybe you're thinking thoughts that you don't want to think. Maybe you're expecting God to do something that He's not expected to do. And maybe you believe things that are not right, that are not true. Church, let me tell you that God has the power to transform and renew your mind. All you got to do is surrender it to Him. Again, a simple command. A simple command. Surrender your mind to the Lord and He will renew your thinking. He will renew your expectations and He will renew your beliefs. So say, "Lord, let me have the mind that relies on You. Give me the mind of Christ." That's what the Bible says. That we have the mind of Christ. The question is, are you using it? Are you using the thing that God so graciously gave you, the mind of Christ? I'll ask the question again, church. Do you need a renewed mind? Let's pray. Lord, as we lift up this altar to You, Lord, let You be glorified in all what we do. Lord, I pray that maybe there's people here today that need to be thinking a different way. Maybe their expectations of how You're going to answer their prayers, Lord, maybe they need to be changed. Maybe there are things in our life that we have to set aside, the things we believe, in order to take up the truth that You so graciously have given us. Because again, Your Word says the truth will set us free. Lord, we'll have more peace and comfort in our life when we give You our mind. Lord, this altar is for You this morning. Let us take advantage of it. Let us get on our knees before You. And ask You, Lord, to give us Your thoughts and show us Your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, church.